Red Dying Quarry, an Elder Scrolls podcast. Here are your hosts, Bob Chichinski and Dog Bark 24.
Welcome everyone to episode 75 of the Red Diamond Courier. Oh, look at that. It's an anniversary episode, man. 75. It's like our diamond episode. That's cool. And of course, here with me to apparently celebrate. I'm just kidding. But my good friend, Dogbark24. How's it going, my dude?
It's going pretty good. How are you?
Good, man. Good. 75 times we've done this now, dog.
Yeah, and we have a pretty good episode for 75, too.
That's true. We do. It's actually one of, I think, a lot of people's favorite zones for many reasons. But we are going to be talking about a good old region guide episode on the Gold Coast. One of the infamous Elder Scrolls Online DLCs that revolved around the Dark Brotherhood and was based in the western part of Cyrodiil, and featured places from Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, like Kvatch, right? Yeah, and what was the other one?
I don't know. I just know Kvatch, man.
It's like the main city.
Yeah. Gold Coast.
Gold Coast. Yes. All right. Perfect. So, why do I want to just say Anchorage? The Anchorite just owns my mind, dude. I swear to God. I don't know. It's there. It's a great, beautiful zone. Deals with the Dark Brotherhood. It has Minotaurs there, and I'm going to just get carried away.
I know what it is now. It's called Anvil.
Anvil! I freaking knew it. It had something to do with an A and an N. Yeah, that shows how quickly your memory can go. I swear to God, every time I listen to a podcast, I'm the one that's like, I know the thing that the person's forgetting. And then every time I'm doing the podcast, I'm the person forgetting. Like, it sucks. But that's okay. People need something to yell at in the car. So there you go, everyone. Just like, Anvil, Bob, it's Anvil.
Well, I remember because you said Minotaur. And I'm like, oh, well, I know the Minotaurs because they have the Anvil cracker. And, yeah. Okay, it's a pretty weird way to remember it, but
yes, a little bit, but that's I'll take it, man. So there you go, guys. That's as much of a derail as we could get right off the bat, but we are going to be talking some Gold Coast for y'all, and we're very excited to have you here for episode 75. So let's start it off, some news. My good old friend Dogged, I'll let you have the floor, dude. I know that you've been waiting along for this console update.
All right. Well, to kind of start things off, we have the PC incremental patch that came out on the 15th, which is yesterday/today, depending on, you know, if you're Bob, it's today. If it's me, if you're me, it's yesterday. And what this patch did is that it fixed some antiquity lead bugs and the curated drops bugs. So this was a really, really awesome patch. And then console launch is happening, you know, tomorrow/today. But by the time this comes out, it'll be, it should already be out by now. And the best part about it is that this incremental patch that came out the day before the console patch is being applied to the console launch. These bug fixes are great because starting on the 18th is the Undaunted Celebration, which is 2 days after the console launch, but hey, it's going to be an awesome event, so.
Yeah, the Undaunted event, man, always one of our absolute favorites. Honestly, probably second only to Midyear. Well, actually, didn't they change the name for Midyear now? Now I'm just going to sound like a fool if I keep calling it Midyear.
Yeah, it's or White Strakes. Maybe I'll sound like an
OG. Oh, yeah, it's White Strakes. The Festival of the Pelinal. Why didn't they call it Pelinal Fest? I don't know. This is why I don't work for Zoss. Anyways, yeah, Undaunted Fest. It's going to be freaking awesome. Seems like the Dungeon Finder is in a good spot right now, so hopefully that will stay together. That's the general plague of the Undaunted Fest.
Gonna have curated drops be working properly. That's gonna be awesome.
Is gonna be very awesome, because when they introduce a new system, it's really nice to have it just working perfectly.
Definitely be nice to be working properly on Xbox, or consoles, but yeah, consoles has been pretty rough, and this will be the first ones where console launch will probably be better than the PC launch, which doesn't happen.
And I mean, if you think about it, it should happen because they have time in between. That's almost like it's supposed to be that way, but yeah, it usually doesn't seem to go that way. However, this time it's going to, so there you go. I don't want to say first time for everything, but...
Yeah, I mean, as long as they can, keep it going with that, I might actually be on to this whole 2-week wait time for DLC launch again, instead of being like, man, I really want same-day launch. Or even just 1 week, but... Yeah, the 2-week wait time this time was actually a pretty good thing to have, so
I'm happy with it. I remember that was the thing all the console players would say, we just letting them PC players test out all the bugs. But then I got to a point where the bugs still came. wait.
Yeah.
Did you already talk all about the all these fancy opals you could get and everything?
No, I haven't actually talked about anything. I just, said the dates. It's the 18th to the 30th. The dungeon's final boss will drop an Undaunted reward box. The first one each day will give you a glorious box, which is guaranteed to drop an opal weapon style page.
And then, of course, we have, not enough opal styles that you guys could get, but... There's going to be a bunch of different ones, of course. Not only can you get monster helms, but different set pieces and the shoulders as well. So if you want the helmets, of course, those are going to be from doing the dungeon, the last boss. You have a chance of it. It has to be on veteran, and it's going to be a rare drop, but you have a chance. So get in there and hit them. And I get those opal style pages. So the new one is going to be Chokethorn. That's the only new one for this event. All the other ones are repeats. And those are going to be Iceheart, Lord Warden, Nightflame, and Swarm Mother. Now, unfortunately, they don't have all of them. But... they do have a handful, I guess, and one new one. So with these four, it's going to give you a good handful of dungeons to, farm. You got Iceheart and Direfrost, Lord Warden in Imperial City. So if you're like me and still going for a freaking Scathing Mage Lightning Staff that you don't even need anymore, but you just want to get out of, pride... there's that. You got Elden Hollow 2 going for Nightflame and Spindle Clutch 1 for Swarm Mother. So, lots of options, lots of fun. Personally, I wish they would have had all of them. I don't know why you don't put the other, three or four in there that they have. Just really open up the options for people to farm, especially with an awesome new system. That you just put out that lets people go, it gives incentive to even do more in farming and stuff. So it just seems like those kind of things should go hand in hand. But hey, want in one hand and crap in the other, and see which one fills up faster, right? That's what my grandma always used to say.
Well, that sounds like a very interesting saying that your grandma said. But as for, like, you know, what you can do with your tickets this event, you can get 3 pet fragments and 3 house fragments. And then there's still 2 more house fragments to come in the later events or event or whatever it's planning on after it, but I don't know. And then you can also buy the bound style pages for Opal weapons, helms, and shoulders. And then, of course, you can also get the group repair kits. So, a lot of different stuff you can get. Maybe you want to finish out your Opal stuff if you have been, I don't know, if you have some of them from before. Or you can, you know, get the ones that you want. Like, I always went after the Opal Iceheart staff because I thought that was the coolest, at least for me. And then I was like, oh, this has a giant brown rod that's undyeable. And I don't use it. But, yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up the news. You know, you got the PC incremental patch, the console launch, and the Dawn Celebration event.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not recording, like, 3 weeks in between episodes, so not that much has happened. So we don't have, like, a page of news. Only a half page. Alright, so that's going to bring us to our PvP update, and this week, we actually are here on the eve of the DLC drop for console, and servers are already down. So we couldn't get scores for you guys, but we do have them for PC. And this is going to be 2 weeks after the update, you know, so there you go. Campaign is over. Dog, these are fresh winning scores, huh?
They're like 2 hours before the campaign actually ended, but yeah, they're fresh enough.
Fantastic. So for PC NA, we have Aldmeri Dominion on top, 95k. Way to go to them. DC in second, at least, thankfully, 93k, pretty close behind them. Respectful finish. Evanhart Pact, you know, back in third. I don't know about that. 90k. Oh, man. You know, to be fair, all of them in the 90s, that's pretty solid. That was pretty, looks like there was great competition throughout the month. And great host for PCNA. So that is really good. And once again, AD on top. Congrats to them. For the EU side, wow. From worst to first, Evanhart Pact on top with over 100k, 101. Very impressive indeed. Yeah, that, and not only that, but they have a very dominating lead over second place, Aldmeri Dominion, only at 80k. So that is a huge win for Evanhart Pact. Unfortunately, my boys, Daggerfall Covenant in last over there at 77k. So Evanhart dominated that month, and you know, we may just have to turn that around, you know, to finish out the year here. It's gonna be the last campaign of 2021, everyone. This is time to get in there. No better time, right, dog?
Yeah, especially since now that Dark Convergence will not be as overpowered. I was in Cyrodiil like yesterday, and it was awful. Nothing like being swung in from like a mile away to be killed. And then it was a ball group, so like they were all running it. There's like 3 of them going off. It was bad. And I ended up being like, you know what? I'm just going to go get Sky Shards. And that's what I did.
Yeah. Dog's favorite set, you know, Dark Convergence. He just loves getting killed by it. He tells me all day in Discord, like, ah, man, I love Dark Convergence.
Yep, I'm definitely looking forward to Necker to, you know, tomorrow or even, like, later in December, you know, after the Andante event, of course, where I can go into Cyrodiil and Dark Convergence will be, you know, not as OP, and I can, you know, play PvP again without, like, raging. Because no one likes a rager. Alright, but next up we have, you know, the Gold Coast Zone. And
Gold Coast!
Yep, the Gold Coast is home to the Dark Brotherhood storyline that we get inside of ESO. As far as guild traders, there are 3 guild traders in Anvil. This zone has 6 striking...
Wow, we had it written down, literally.
Yeah, we, right had, there. We had it written down multiple times.
Multiple times, yep. Yep, we do. Wow, okay, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, there are 3 guild traders in Anvil. The zone has 6 striking locales and 6 sky shards. There are 2 delves and 2 world bosses. One of the world bosses is a Minotaur at Tribune's Folly. The other world boss is at Kavat's Arena. Pretty sure it's Knight Commander Pantheus because the announcer guy likes to talk a lot and it's pretty much engraved into my mind.
And that's the one where it's like there's a couple waves of enemies that come through first, right?
Yeah, it's like an arena. That's why it's called Kavach Arena.
Yeah, and it's like a ode to the arena from TES4.
Yeah.
And which you would know all about because you played Oblivion, right, Don?
Yeah, I played the first, I don't know, hour of Oblivion or so.
Did you make it out of the sewers?
Yeah, I made it out of the sewers. That's the okay, easy cool. part. I made all it right. out of there at least twice, maybe even 3 times.
Oh, well, there you go. I'd probably consumed the entire hour. I'm just kidding.
Well, then there's a few dailies. There's a Delve daily at Anvil. There's a World Boss daily at Kavach. And then there's also a Dark Brotherhood daily where you have to go and assassinate someone with a Blade of Woe and do a bunch of other random stuff. I think it's called the Black Sacrament. And there's also a Dark Brotherhood repeatable quest where you pretty much go into different zones, you kill people, and that's how you progress your skill line and progress in the story. So... that's, you know, dailies and repeatables inside of the Gold Coast.
And the, like, the one where Dog's talking about where you level up, that is, it's kind of like a weird system in the way that, you know, it has a skill line, so they had to have a way for you to level it up. And other than going around and killing everyone with a Blade of Woe all day long, how are you going to really do that? So their concept back when you had the Thieves Guild and the Dark Brotherhood was that it would only level up through the repeatable quest things you could do and with each part of the story you did. They kind of moved away from that as they moved further along into like the Psijic skill line. It was derived like only off the quest part of it, and then you have the antiquities, which it's based on farming that you only get from doing, you know, antiquities as well, but it's not locked behind like you could go do antiquities anywhere. It's not locked behind like a specific repeatable quest or anything.
Yeah, and there's not a maximum amount of antiquities you can do. Whereas like yeah, the Dark exactly. Brotherhood, and you do like 6 or 7 max. Maybe a yeah. bit more, but like there's a maximum you can do.
Yeah, well, gosh, if there is, I've never hit it because, man, I've gone hard some days going for trying to get 7 on the freaking Dark Brotherhood to get that awesome passive that I'm sure we'll talk about later, so I won't spoil it, but yeah, so that's the best way to do it. And the quests, honestly, they're not too bad though. It's like go to an area and kill this citizen. The annoying thing is trying to find them generally, because like for some reason it's so hard to see the hand over their head. Like when you finally see them, it seems like the most obvious thing in the world, but like, I swear to God, sometimes they could be right next to me and I just cannot find them.
Well, I normally don't have any problem, you know, finding people to murder, so, I mean, sometimes I murder, you know, half of the town, but that's, you know, that's their fault, right? They're trying to hide the person, so.
Just picture Dog walking out of the town, all these dead bodies behind him. He's just like, well, I'm sure they were in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. If not, I'll be back later. I'll go for the rest of that.
If not, then I'll just have to be pissed off when I come back. And then the few remaining town villagers run screaming back to their house to pack their possessions.
Yep.
All right, so that is going to take us right into our middle of the episode break. As always, we want to remind you guys that we are part of the Robots Radio Podcast Network, the so wildly popular place for all the awesomest podcasts to join together and fight the good fight against evil. And we can only do that if you go check out all the some of our friends on there too. If you like Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Destiny, gaming in general, there's all kinds of shows for you. So go check them out over at robotsradio.net.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stop loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, two former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal, and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast Queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. Two men. One wasteland. And so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast, rated R, now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.
All right, dog. So let's get started here on the second half of our episode. We've got all the rest of the tasty Gold Coast information for the good people. Crafted sets. Always important. You get three of them every time they drop a new zone. And Gold Coast was nothing different. So, and Gold Coast actually has some good ones. At least this first one for sure. So, Kvatch Gladiator. So, Kvatch Gladiator. It's going to give you two sets of crit chance and then a weapon and spell damage buff for the 2, 3, and 4 piece, and then on the 5 piece you gain 1475 weapon and spell damage against targets who are at or below 25% health. So just insane execute damage it's going to give you. You get great crit on the way up and extra weapon and spell damage to top it off. Wow, I did not know that this was one of the sets that got, added that spell, and weapon damage, or, they made it a hybrid thing. It's not just off weapon damage now. That's actually really could be a good set for, PvP, for, a lot of magic builds. Not that there aren't, of course. Plenty of others, but it's a great option, especially for like if you're doing some low level PvP or something, you need a crafted set. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I don't know when, but they also buff that set up so it's better.
Yeah, because I don't remember doing that execute thing before. I think it only did like the extra weapon and spell damage, so
yeah, and it wasn't like that much. It was like
know. Yeah, just like a little bit.
Yeah, a little
bit. Like now it gives you a lot, only a certain time, but it's a critical time. So.
Yeah.
And before I forget, Kvatch Gladiator is a 5-trait set. So if it's something you want to be crafting, keep that in mind. You will need 5 traits of each piece that you want to craft researched.
All right. Well, next up, we have Varen's Legacy. This is a 7-trait set. And this will give you max health, max stamina, 4% healing taken. All right, but its 5th piece items reads, when you block an attack, your next direct damage area of effect attack used within 5 seconds deals an additional 3k damage. This bonus does not work with channeled effects, and this effect can occur once every 2 seconds. That's a mouthful. I don't really get what it does, but
yeah, pretty much just like when you block, the next AoE you cast is gonna do more damage. As long as it's within 5 seconds of the time that you blocked.
And it's not channeled.
And as long as it's a direct damage AoE.
Yeah. And it can't be channeled like
and
jabs.
And it can't be channeled. What the heck is this thing? It seems like they want it to be for healing, but it's direct damage.
And it's kind of built like a tank set. I don't know. It's a weird
set.
Oh,
maybe it is. Yeah, I don't know. This is really weird. All right, so let's just move past that one. So next we got Pelennor's Wrath, which is a 9-trait set, so you're going to have to be a master crafter. And on the 2-piece, weapon and spell damage, 3-piece, offensive penetration. Then you have a weapon and spell damage buff on the way to the 5-piece, which reads, whenever you kill an enemy, you gain a damage shield that absorbs up to 3,500 damage for 10 seconds and a stack of Wrath of White Strike for 10 seconds. Each stack of Wrath of White Strike grants you 100 weapon and spell damage, but causes you to take 159 Oblivion damage every second up to 10 stacks. All right, so let's just, I'll finish reading before we do math. The damage shield scales off the higher of your weapon or spell damage, and the damage scales off your max health. All right, so there's a lot to unpack here. Basically, the higher your weapon or spell damage, the bigger the shield that you're going to get. So clearly, if you have a high, let's just say you're doing a magic build and you got some pretty high spell damage, probably upwards of 3k unbuffed, you're going to be looking at a pretty significant shield that lasts for 10 seconds. Now, you're also going to take damage every second for 10 seconds. Now, this, but you gain 100 weapon and spell damage too. So every stack that you get, which you're probably going to end up with, it's when you kill an enemy. So if you're doing, like, if you're thinking PvP wise, it may not be too high that the stacks you get, but let's just, for math's sake, say you have full 10 stacks. That's going to increase your weapon and spell damage by 1,000. So right there, that's pretty high, and that's going to increase the effectiveness of your shield. Like, if it recasts. Like, if you kill a person, then kill another person, and get, you know, double kill, triple kill, or whatever. And then, but you're going to be taking damage every second. So, cool thing is, as your weapon and spell damage are going up, as you keep killing people, everything is going up, 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 but the damage that you're taking is staying the same, and it's a low, low, low damage. It's just a low bleed. It scales off your max health, so I don't know what this tooltip is scaling off of, but even if it was, like upwards of like, I don't think it would ever get near 1,000, but even if it was 300 a second for 10 seconds, that's only going to be 3,000 total damage that you're looking at taking. It's really not that big of a deal, especially when you're talking about having a shield for theoretically the same amount of time that gets buffed up continuously as long as you keep killing things. So I don't know. This is a pretty interesting set. I know I've seen people run it before. I think I do remember it getting changes recently. I don't know how drastic.
It was definitely nothing.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So, well, there you go, Doc. How drastic was it? Do you remember?
People were angry in the forums. That's all I know.
When are people not angry in the forums? This is the real question.
I think it used to, here. Its old fifth piece passive was your weapon and spell damage both become the highest of the two values. So that's what it used to be. And that used to be, like, really good for, what do you call it? Hybrid builds. So.
Oh, I see. Wow, that is super drastic.
Yeah, it's like a completely different stat.
Completely.
Yeah, 2-4 was also, let's see, max health, stamina recovery, and magic recovery. So.
Okay, yeah.
It's a completely totally, different
set. Yeah, it's completely different entirely. Same name, totally different. So that's really interesting. I think that it's like, it's really wordy, and I think that just people might look at it and be like, I'm not even going to put that together. Like, I don't care to even, like, figure out how effective that set can be, because it's just going to take too much. But, you know, if you're doing the right thing, I think that set could be really effective. It's just that there's so many sets that just give you buffs for just having the set on, you know, that it's like, it's wearing something situational like this, it's really just like your choice. Like how much do you want to play? How active do you does your playstyle want to be? You know, do you want to be focusing on buffing yourself up through stuff like this, making sure your set's proccing at the right time and everything? Or do you want to just wear something like Kvatch Gladiator that's just gonna give you you know, extra weapon and spell damage every time you're enemy is in execute range no matter what, you know? So that's just the options that you get, and it's especially good to see in crafted sets, because crafted sets need some love. Like it's like they either make them and no one cares about them, or they make them and there's two that no one cares about and one super broken one that they have to nerf. So I don't know, we just need, like, going forward, crafted sets to be, I don't know, unique, but still important. Like, I don't know. We're not even talking about future content, so I don't know why I'm, like, going straight to, like, what they need to do. But I guess maybe just because they changed this one so drastically, and that's cool to see. So, you know, it's like they went back, touched something up that was only being used for a specific reason, that maybe it was like too niche, or like it was too effective for the people who wanted to do hybrid. I don't know. So interesting, to say the least, that's for sure.
Yeah. And then, this set would definitely pair good with the, either that, one mythic ring that kind of heals you. I don't know what it's called. Do you know what it's called?
The Pale Order ring?
Yeah. The Pale Order ring. That's the one. Yeah, you pair that this set up with that. That'll pretty much help you heal yourself throughout any damage you do. Or this set also pairs up with, you know, running with someone who can heal you the entire time. And if you're in PvP, well, chances are there's probably going to be a healer around. So there you go.
Yeah, very interesting set, man.
Yeah.
So what about the zone sets, dog? We got three of those too, right?
Yep, we have three of those. We have the first one is the Flanking Strategist, and this is the medium armor set. And this fifth piece item reads, it adds 400 weapon and spell damage to your damaging abilities when you attack an enemy from behind or from the side. And yeah, I don't really get how, like, that must be a nightmare in, like, you know, behind the scenes, because I don't know, when I, for example, when I play Templar, when I jab, I can spin around now in circles, so
Yeah.
But that's definitely something.
How much pressure does that put on the game, you know? Like, now my game has to, like... Because they're already like, well, here's the process. You know, when you press a button, the game's going to be like, well, what sets is it wearing? How is this button supposed to be pressed? Blah, blah, blah. Like, so what? Now my game's like, oh, well, where is he standing? Where is the other enemy standing? Where is he in proximity to the enemy? How far is he on their flank? Like, where to the side do you have to... I don't know. It's just, like, so, so precise that it's almost too much.
Yeah, that's definitely something that you're probably going to see on a Stamblade, if you're going to see it at all.
And also, it's like, okay, no, I was going to say, like, as if it was a buff that it put on you, like, how long it lasts, but no. It's just whenever the attack you do to them from the side or behind them will be for more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be good for, you know, like, Nightblades and stuff, clearly. They just want to sneak up behind someone, drop their freaking, you know, their one stun or whatever they can get off, and all their dots. So, then for the heavy set, we've got Hide of Morihouse. And the five piece for this set, you're going to get Stam Recovery. And when you roll dodge through an enemy, you deal 2,000 physical damage and knock them down for 3 seconds. This effect scales off the higher of your damages. So, I mean, I guess, like, what's the point, though?
Well, if you're a wood elf, like, you have that one, when you have to roll through enemies, you do something. I think you immobilize them. So now you immobilize them, and you stun them, and you deal, like, 2,000 physical damage. And that's what my tooltip says. Because the tooltip, whenever you search it through the bot, says you deal 0 damage. Which is interesting. But, yeah, that's not the greatest.
Yeah, not the greatest.
All right, and the last set is Sithis Touch. And this is not just the light armor set, but it's also a medium armor set, and it's also a heavy armor set. So you can get it in all three weights, just like Armor of the Trainee. And this fifth item reads, when you kill an enemy, you gain 5% movement speed for 30 seconds, and you become invisible for 3 seconds. The movement speed stacks up to 20 times. So, after killing 20 enemies, you can have 100% movement speed. So, pretty much double whatever you're going right now.
Well, you know, and dog loves his movement speed.
Yeah, and it's, you know, for 30 seconds, so I'm assuming you can stack those up pretty easily. And keep it going, too, especially for running around, committing murder, like, through the Black Sacrament or the Thieves Guild quests. Although, I guess the Thieves Guild, they're like, no, don't murder. You can't, you know, rob money from a dead man. Well, you can, just only once.
It's only so much you could take from a dead man, eh?
Yeah, you just take everything, I mean... Otherwise, you can only take, like, you know, maybe a quarter this time, a third another time, a tenth of what it is, you know, another time. Like, just take everything all at once. That's the way you do it. Alright, next up we have some achievements that are listed. The first one is the Bane of the Gold Coast. This is both, you know, the title, the achievement, and you also get the Blade of the Blood Oath Memento. And you have to complete the following. You have to do the Gold Coast Adventure, which is complete 17 quests. Defender of the Gold Coast, you have to kill the 2 world bosses. The Gold Coast Pathfinder, which is doing the 6 striking locales. Gold Coast Cave Delver, which is killing the 2 delve bosses. And then the Silencer, which also gets you the Silencer title. But you complete the Zone/Dark Brotherhood story. So... And that's kind of your staple DLC Bane of the, or you do something for the zone.
Then we've got the Gold Coast.
The Gold Coast, eh?
We have the Gold Coast Tourist Achievement that is only from visiting the Gold Coast, and you get the Assassin personality with that one, so that's nice. Assassin personality is a pretty chill one, honestly. A lot of people like it.
You know, technically free if you have ESL Plus, or like you get it, you know, with a DLC, so it's one of the few personalities that's like pretty much every player can get very easily.
Yeah, and that's always, everyone loves, you know, when they could get stuff in game and it's easy to do. Then we've got the Gold Coast Master Angler, which, as you can imagine, getting all the fish specific to that region. And Gold Coast Connections, where you aid each of the notable figures that arrived in the Gold Coast. And yeah, that one, like, it's kind of like a beyond this, you know, main story kind of thing. So I don't think I've ever finished that one before. Have you, Doc?
No, I definitely haven't. I still have like 3 or 4 people, so I have to find them eventually. Next up, we have the World Bosses. The first one is Tribune's Folly. This is a Minotaur boss. He's called Liminaris or something like that. I don't know. It's a Minotaur name. It's weird. And this the quest for this boss gives you the Minotaur style pages. So if you want the Minotaur style pages, you want the Minotaur chest, you got to complete the Tribune's Folly daily quest for it. And then the other world boss is, you know, the Kvatch Arena, the arena style fight where you fight, you know, good old Knight Commander Pantheus. And this quest will give you the Order of the Hour style pages.
So speaking of styles, we also have two of them here that come specifically from this region as well. The Assassin's League motif style. So the Delve Garlus Ajaya's Iron Fang boss drops helmets, legs, shields, shoulders, and staffs. The Delve Hrota Caves Exulus boss drops boots, bows, chests, maces, and swords. Now, the Kvatch Arena Knight Commander Pantheus drops daggers and gloves. Tribune's Folly Liminaris boss drops axes and belts. And then you also have the Dark Brotherhood style. And these style pages are from completing the one and only Black Sacrament, which is what we talked about earlier, to help level up your Dark Brotherhood skill line.
Yep, and that's kind of something that I just wanted to put in there because I know when I was doing through, it was like, how do you get like certain, like some of those Assassin's Leagues and stuff? So there you go. Always on the lookout. Especially since it can be really confusing. So
someone's always going to be on the lookout, right? So it looks like that's about going to wrap it up for us, dog. Any last thoughts on the Gold Coast, my man?
No, I think, you know, I just want to go there again whenever we have the Dark Brotherhood / Thieves Guild event so I can fill up my sticker book, because curated drops will be the, you know, active then.
Yeah. I remember when the Gold Coast first came out, and it was just like the most packed place in the world. So I don't think it's that bad anymore, but I do enjoy the Gold Coast, and having to go there and turn in my, you know, freaking Dark Brotherhood pledges, and when I do like 10 a day, it's, you know, I don't mind. I'm not mad. It's a nice place.
Yep, a nice place full of murder and murder. So definitely a dog place.
All right, man. So why don't we wrap this up, and why don't you tell all the good, good people where, if they want to come talk about all things ESO and Gold Coast and Dark Brotherhood, where they can find us.
All right. We can find us on Twitter of the at Red Diamond Cast. You can also find us on Facebook of the Red Diamond Courier. And then you can also find us in our ESO, PC, or Xbox guild of Heirs of the Red Diamond, which you can join using the Robots Radio Discord found at robotsradio.com.
And if you check our show notes, you could see all kinds of awesome links to things like our sponsors from Robots Radio, to ESO-hub.com that is so nice to include us in their news section, and to even things like our music producer, where if you want to start your own podcast and need music made, he can freaking help you out. So all of that, check it all out. And if you have time, please, please, please leave us a review. I swear we absolutely love it when you do. Man, I swore that I wasn't going to read this at the end of this episode. Okay. I do have it. Should I just read it now? I guess we should. It's from 1021, so it's been a couple weeks. But thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to Mateo, Azul. And you know what? I'm gonna shout it out at the start of next podcast, too. I'm going to copy and paste it right now. But you gave us a 5-star review. Great podcast. Thank you guys for the great banter and knowledge about ESO. I know my gameplay has improved, and it's all thanks to you two. Like, that is the freaking awesomest and most wholesome review. Thank you so much. That's like literally our whole goal in life, is to help people in ESO, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good goal, I would say.
Well, apparently we succeeded, dog.
Yeah, that's good too, you know, succeeding is so good. Like,
that's it, right? Hang up the shoes, we're done now. 75 episodes, helped out one dude, call it quits. I'm just kidding. Thank you guys so much. Thank you to Mateo, and I'm going to shout that out next episode too. If I don't remember, then, you know, at least I, you know, said it live now, and I'll probably feel bad about it at some point. I don't know. Thank you, though. And I really appreciate it. And I remember reading it when we got it, and I was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. And it just made my day. So if you guys ever, I want to take the time and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, I will be glad to shout it to the heavens. So if you guys want to find me, it's me, Bob Chichinsky, wherever you go. Underscores in between for the most part, but not on Xbox. And Dog, what about you, my man?
Alright, you can find me on Xbox, Twitter, and ESOPC, all of at DogBark24. And yeah, I'm pretty easy to find.
Alright. Thank you guys so much for listening to us once again. Hope you all enjoyed, and we will catch you on the flip side of things. See you next time.
Yep, see ya.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Do you like adventure?
Yeah.
Do you like laughing?
Yeah.
Would you like to listen to a group of people you don't know play D&D and reference retro pop culture you vaguely remember? Excellent. You're going to love Committee Quest. We play D&D in the world of Amaran. We use adventure modules and supplements made by people in the community. We also have a sweet synthwave backing track. Come and join us on our adventure. Volume 1 has been completed. Volume 2 coming the end of January. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts from.